Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast!
The
show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell. Tom, we're on our second week of no guest.
I know, it's because I had to go out of town on some bullshit.
Yeah, we assure you it's not because nobody likes us.
Although that may also be true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And we'll make them pay. We'll make them all pay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right now it's just circumstances. We will surely have a guest next week. Surely.
Yeah, I can almost guarantee.
Yeah. Unless like 90% the sun guarantee. Explodes. Yeah, unless we make them pay. We make them all pay. But yeah, yeah. So I guess just fucking deal with us. Tom, I've been looking at videos of porcupines.
Oh yeah, for what purpose?
Because they make baby noises. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've never heard a porcupine before, and I think just some bullshit on Twitter led me to it. Hmm. They make little baby noises. They're fantastic animals.
Well, they figured it out.
Yeah, they're kind of perfect.
They know how to trick their way inside your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then they prick you. That's what they do.
Mm.
That's what they do. Fucking mm-mm. Porcupines. All right, you want to talk about trailers?
I do. I'd rather talk about trailers than baby porcupine noises.
Okay, we can do another podcast for baby porcupines.
Yeah, we'll just add that as a tier.
Yes. Yeah, porcupine tier?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a good idea.
Such a good idea, man.
The first trailer is for Mulan.
Yep.
Disney's Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
This is, so far, out of all this Disney bullshit, this is the one that seems to give me the most hope, only because it appears to be not necessarily based off the original cartoon.
No, it's from what I've read, it doesn't have any of the musical numbers. It doesn't have the fanciful animal friends. So like, there's no talking dragon. There's no cricket.
Yeah.
It's just the story of this woman who enters into the army in her father's place.
Right, which, yeah, Disney didn't own this story. They didn't make it up. It's an older story, I believe. So, like, yeah, this is probably the best case scenario for these adaptations. Kind of like, I mean, I feel like they've done, like, Cinderella this way, too, where it's, like, it's not a Disney. Disney didn't come up with the idea, so they're reaching back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know. It should be fun. Yeah, there's no music. I think this is good. I think it's the reaction of people like, oh, it's not like my cartoon Mulan. And it's like, yeah, fucking good. Do you really want that? Do you want the Lion King version of Mulan?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Every clip they release of the Lion King is embarrassing.
Yeah, I think, Tom, I really don't think we should review that movie.
No, we're not going to.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm yeah.
We're going to go see something else. Or we're just going to review the 1994 version.
I will legit do the 1994 version.
Yeah,
because the clips coming out is just so... All the reviews... It's not getting good reviews, but the reviews that were praising it is calling it, like, technologically important. It's like, that's not a good sign for
a
movie.
That's a bad compliment to pay a movie. Yeah.
Where it's like, yes, this movie was sure photorealistic, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I love in my Disney cartoons,
sure what
is photorealism.
Sure what I loved about The Lion King were all of those bland earth-toned characters that can't fucking emote.
Yeah, with their little mouths moving to these quite amazing versions of songs that have so much more emotion. My favorite thing, I shared it on Twitter, was just the fact that apparently Can You Feel the Love Tonight, that song is performed during the day, which I just think is... I just think that's a really funny oversight, where it's just like, really?
Yeah, you, I mean, it's a montage in the original film, but right. I mean, there's still a portion that's in the evening.
Yeah, it's sort of the point. yeah, it looks so soulless. That's why, again, this looks like the better version of what you can do with it.
Well, at least it has human faces that can emote.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
but yeah, no, it looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think this is... I'm looking forward to this just because it's feels like I said, the best case scenario of these mm-hmm. movies.
Yeah, kind of...
Disney does need to kind of fucking... Okay, I can't tell what Disney's trying to do because... This year, how many of their fucking adaptations have come out in like a year's worth of time?
Three so far.
Yeah, they're blowing their wad. And I wonder if that's on purpose. I wonder if they're just like...
It must be some sort of staggered out, because it was Dumbo in March, Aladdin in May, Lion King in July, so it's every 2 months.
Yeah, that's exhausting. Do they know? They seem to have this inability to figure this out, because they had this with Star Wars too, where they're like, new Star Wars every year until you die, and everybody mm-hmm. was like, that sounds exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, okay, never mind.
Yeah,
every Disney remake every fucking couple of months until you die. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, they're doing Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's what is the no don't
what is the per what is the point of this?
It's gonna take one of these failing.
Yeah. I think what they're doing is they're like, let's get it all in. Mm-hmm. Let's cram them in as quickly as possible before people realize that they're bad ideas. And let's just cash in on that nostalgia so hard and get it done quickly. But by the time people are like, oh, God, I haven't thought about the Lion King movie in years. Like, they'll be like, too late. We already have your money. Because that's what these are, is they're movies that don't last the test of time. For the most part, I don't think.
No. Why would they? I don't know.
They're grifts. It's a grift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about it. The Aladdin one was pretty sweet. But
yeah. Well, yeah. It doesn't mean each individual. I'm sure there's good moments in The Lion King that it doesn't seem like there's many good moments. It's still a grift.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I don't know. We can move on.
Yeah, we can all move on mm-hmm. as a society.
We should probably move on.
Yeah. To the new Dora and the Lost City of Gold trailer.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm less excited about it now, but not for a bad reason. Watching this trailer, I was like, oh, right, it is kind of a kid's movie.
No, it's
like
for,
the
it's
jokes
for
are for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
There is a funny beat where she looks into the camera and asks them if they can pronounce a Spanish word, and her parents are like, "Who is she talking to?"
That was pretty great. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird that there's a fox that's dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I saw?
Yeah, that's Swiper.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know anything about the cartoon.
It's Swiper.
Does it talk?
Yeah, I believe so.
That feels weird. tonally weird for the rest of the movie. I mean, Danny Trejo as a monkey making monkey sounds. I mean, I'm delighted by that.
Oh, I believe, I'm pretty sure Benicio del Toro is the fox.
Okay. I mean, sure. So. I don't know why people are letting Benicio del Toro into their kids' movies, but sure. Is he just going to mumble through it? Is it just going to be
he's gonna
just
make,
a fox that you can't
gonna
understand
make some
a word he's saying?
He's going to make psychotic character choice for his kids' movie.
Of course he is. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? Is he the worst Star Wars character?
No.
Okay. I mean, I was glad to see him in a Star War, but his character had no purpose in that movie, from what I remember.
It wasn't the character that was bad.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it's not him. He's not the problem.
Mm-mm.
I just mean, like, that character, its existence within the universe it just felt like I didn't know why he was there.
Oh, I mean, Snoke.
Yeah, Snoke.
Snoke, Captain Phasma.
Right.
There's a lot.
The prequels are now rushing through my head as I speak. So there's some really bad Star Wars characters out there.
The diner owner.
Dexter Jetster, is that his name?
Dexter Jetster, yeah. Yep. Hello, yeah, Dex.
That's pretty bad. Yeah.
I mean, Benice is not the worst.
No, no. And again, it's not Benice's fault.
No.
No. But yeah, I guess I'll see this for Benicio. I feel like a real weirdo going to see this in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll just watch this in the quiet of my own home.
Streaming. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next trailer is for Judy.
Yeah. This is a movie about Judy Garland starring Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, Judy Garland in her later years, which are bummer years from what I remember.
All of her years are pretty dark.
That's a good point. She deserves a biopic. Mm-hmm. We deserve to look back and be like, look what we did. Look at this.
Yeah, look what we did to this person.
Yeah, it's still going to be a real bummer. I'm sure she'll give a great performance, though.
Oh, yeah.
She's a good actress.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a while.
She just did some damn thing. but yeah, this looks pretty good, and it's I don't know, it's strange that we haven't gotten a big Judy Garland movie yet. Or if we have, I'm just not more aware of it.
Yeah, I could see something in the 90s happening. It's weird, like the biopics of famous Hollywood people.
Mm-hmm.
There's some, like, we've done a few Hitchcock movies, but none of them have felt like very definitive. Like, there's been one where it was just him working on Psycho. Like, they'll do the ones where it's just like moments.
And that was the one with Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah. Which I did like a lot of that movie. That movie opens on Ed Gein. Like, it opens on the Ed Gein murders, and it was like, oh, we're starting all the way here. Because that's the inspiration for Norman Bates. Mm-hmm. So that was like a hell of a... Like, I feel like they knew they were making like a maybe kind of boring biopic. So they're like, let's just show Ed Gein murdering people. And they did. They did that. Did you see that? Did you see that movie?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But I don't know. It feels like we pick and choose, right?
Yeah.
There was the Charlie Chaplin one. Chaplin was fucking great.
But yeah, Chaplin covers his whole goddamn life.
Yeah, featuring David Duchovny. You remember that David Duchovny's in that?
Yeah, he's one of the crew on one of his movies.
Yeah, he's in like one shot.
Yep.
It's one of those real weird moments where you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing in there? Duchovny? Go back to being in Beethoven.
I think it was like a year before The X-Files, right? That was 92.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
So yeah, Judy.
Judy.
It's going to be a real fucking bummer.
Yeah, it's going to be a real bummer. I'll see it eventually.
Because I looked
it's going to be a hard one.
I looked it up, and guess what year it takes place in?
Right in the end?
Uh-huh.
The last year? Well, I knew she died fairly young.
Yes.
So, like, just seeing her in this is like, yeah, this is her nearing the old death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had a lot of... She was, like, booted off a movie right before she died, too. Like, it's going to be a real... It's going to be a real bummer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody enjoy that.
I mean, it's probably going to be really good.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully it you know, in addition to, you know, looking at this iconic figure's life, it also, like, sheds some light on just how... I mean, like, it's... There's... There's some dark shit that went down in Judy Garland's life, and just in the lives of a lot of young actresses in
fucking
early Hollywood. I mean, it still happens, but like
one of the weirdest realizations when we both lived in Culver City, we would often go to the Arclight there, and the Arclight is across from the Culver City, the Culver Hotel or Hotel Culver or whatever it's fucking called.
Yeah.
And it's like right across from the Sony Studios, which used to be MGM.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think we had that realization that the Culver Hotel is where a lot of really dark shit happened to Judy Garland. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, like, because they filmed Wizard of Oz right there.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's such a... Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
Her fucking life story, which I'm sure they'll go into.
Yeah. It's pretty dark.
It's very dark.
I think it was... We were writing a Cracked article, I think, and just had to edit a lot of it down just because it was like, I don't think we can...
Right.
We can't run ads on this.
Right. And I think it... Right, yeah. I think it's good to remind people because movies like The Wizard of Oz, like people, we often are more attuned to like abuse in the making of movies that are more modern, but yes. Like some of the movies that we grew up and love are like some of that shit is like, it's obviously like everybody's dead now, so it's like we're not supporting anybody, but like Singing in the Rain, the stories from that, and it's just like, Jesus fucking Christ. These people are monsters.
Well, they fired two different actors from Wizard of Oz because they had violent reactions to makeup.
Yeah,
like the lady who played the Wicked Witch, it like burned her flesh.
Yeah, I know the lady who did play the Wicked Witch got burned from the fire stunt too.
Yeah,
like none of it was a good idea. Like
original Tin Man got lead poisoning from the paint on his body, so they just painted a new guy.
Yeah, they're like, well, you don't work anymore.
Yeah,
on to the new guy. Yeah,
it's
back before we really gave a
shit show.
Yeah.
Oh, this is when they still shot bullets at actors. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Oh, what a time.
Before they invented squibs, they used to just shoot fucking bullets.
Yeah, and just be like, yeah, we won't hit you, we promise.
Yeah, there's a shot in I think Public Enemy number one. There was a James Cagney movie where he ducks right before a window gets shot out in front of him. It's just a bunch of stagehands shooting a gun at the window.
Right.
Telling Jimmy Cagney to duck out of the way.
Right. It's crazy because you look at like Buster Keaton and it's like, okay, that shit was very dangerous, but he knew it was dangerous.
It was also coordinated, yeah.
But when they're like firing bullets at them, like, oh, this monster.
There's no gag to it.
Well,
like, you can't.
Like, how they do that? It's like, oh, it's pretty simple, actually. We fired guns at them and tried not to hit them. And luckily we didn't. And if we had, we would have just cast a new guy.
Mm-hmm.
They treat him like Westerns treated horses.
I was just about to say that. They used to kill horses by the gross.
Oh, yeah.
When you see a horse fall in an old movie, they're really tripping that horse.
Yeah.
They shattered the horse's legs. So they had to shoot it.
Yeah. Pretty much every old movie is a snuff film.
Yeah.
Excuse you. Yeah, or at least a torture film.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Wizard of Oz, you're watching people be tortured on screen.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, Judy.
Judy, guys.
That movie. Read about Judy.
Yeah, it's probably worth watching and learning about for sure.
Yeah.
Next thing is Netflix's Frankenstein's Monsters Monster Frankenstein. This trailer came a while ago and I just it was like
it was
early
a couple
July.
Weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, and we just haven't gotten to it. It's what's his name there?
It's Hopper. David Harbour. Yeah.
David Harbour. In a fake like a mockumentary about his grandfather
father. It's supposedly he's uncovered old TV plays that his father put on, and it's like the character of his father is clearly supposed to be Orson Welles. Like,
oh yeah, they show him doing the ad.
Yeah,
yeah. This is fucking weird.
What an insane idea.
I like David Harbour as an actor, but I can't figure out where he sits on like the scale between like serious and comedy. Because he's a funny guy, but he's not like a comedian.
No.
And he does funny things, but he can be very serious while he does it. Have you watched the new season of Stranger Things?
Only the first two episodes, but I think he occupies a I think he occupies a similar space as like Michael Shannon.
Yeah, I can see that.
Michael Shannon, you know, if you've seen the Funny or Die video where he reads the sorority letter. He is a very specific thing, and he realizes that thing can be funny in certain contexts.
Well, yeah, in Stranger Things, they're giving him the fucking Hawaiian shirt and mustache.
He's just, because they're just like Magnum PI, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, we all know what this is. We all know what we wanted to see.
Yeah.
And this is what we wanted to see. and like, he knows exactly what he is. He's a good actor, from what I can tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hasn't had to, like, do anything that challenging. But it's just, it's exciting to see him grow out of things from Stranger Things, because he's like my favorite part of that show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch this, but
I have no fucking idea what it is.
No,
I think it's
what
just
it's gonna be.
It felt very, I had to double check to see, and they would have said something in it, but I was like, this isn't like a what's his name, Spinal Tap, Christopher Guest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not him, is it? Like, it feels very much in the same spirit as those mockumentaries.
Yeah, I have no idea who's responsible for this.
I looked them up. They've written a lot of comedy. They did they directed what is that, the Sacha Baron Cohen,
Who is America?
Yeah, they were the director on those. So they have a comedy background, mm-hmm. and they're fairly new, but like, I don't know. I want this to be really good.
Yeah. I mean,
I have no idea if it is.
Yeah. It certainly looks weird enough. It's
yes.
just like, what even is this idea?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out.
But yeah, I hope it's funny.
Yeah, me too.
The idea of it is funny to me.
Oh yeah. The idea is fucking great. Yeah. It's so weird, and it's just like, how did they even, it's one of those where it's like, it must have been David Harbour's idea or something, because it's so focused around him. It's one of those things where I feel like Netflix was just like, so you'll do another season if we say yes to this, and he's like, yes, and they're like, okay, we'll do it, we don't understand it, but we'll do it. Like, it really, yeah, and then it excites me because of that reason, because it just feels like nothing that they've done.
Well,
or would have done if it weren't for him.
Maybe they've been throwing a lot of money at experimental comedy.
Yeah, that's true.
That new Thank You for Coming, that new sketch show.
Oh, I Think You Should Leave.
Oh, I Think You Should Leave.
You got
that's
the
right.
opposite. I watched the first two episodes of that. That's a great show. That show reminds me a lot of Stella, which I really enjoyed.
Oh,
Stella.
Yeah, I liked Stella.
Yeah, because it's like, it's a very bold style of comedy that's so over the top, and it can mm-hmm. be—it's one of those types of comedy where you either love it or you hate it,
mm-hmm.
Because it's so dumb.
I mean, there's a Stella sketch where it's just the three of them running in slow motion while the Toad the Wet Sprocket song plays.
Oh, it's so good.
Walk on the Ocean.
Yeah, it's so fucking good. All right, final trailer.
Yeah.
This is for an HBO TV show called The Righteous Gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
With Danny McBride.
Yeah, he must have a development deal with HBO.
Probably.
That's like exclusively what he does is HBO shows.
Yeah, for sure. This is one where I'm like, this is a perfect idea for him.
Yes.
Like, this is, he could not.
For sure.
Yeah. This is a premise about a family of televangelists.
Yeah, he's the middle kid. John Goodman's the father. And like, I think he has a son.
Yeah. They couldn't have cast this better. It was just him and John Goodman.
It's, yeah, glorious casting.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see this.
Yeah, for sure. It's every, the three shows he's done, and I didn't look it up to see if it's the same people from Eastbound and Down.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't checked either.
But it's like each thing that he does for HBO, and even his movies, like The Foot Fist Way and then Observer Report, although he's only like kind of an Observer Report, but like they're so perfectly like written for him to be in them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And again, I can't see anybody else being in this, playing this role. It's just like, of course it's him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good at what he does.
Yes.
I wish the alien he was in was just all about him.
That was strange.
Yeah, well, that was, I understood it. I got why he would be in an alien, because just looking at the first Alien movie, it's like, yeah, these like crazy kind of like diverse personalities and mm-hmm. like the Roughneck characters. Like, I could see him existing in that universe. It was just a shame the movie wasn't, like, really, it didn't need him in it.
No.
I don't even remember what happened to him. Because it was just
same thing that happens to the main character. They go to sleep and fucking evil Fassbender presumably impregnates them with aliens while they're asleep.
Okay.
It's not a good movie, but I fucking love the ending.
Yeah, that's a great ending.
I love that
movie.
I love that.
I mean,
clearly with Prometheus and Alien Covenant, Ridley Scott wanted to make a movie about this insane robot.
Yes, and we should have let him.
And they were like, we want you to put aliens in. And he's like, fine, but it's still mostly about this crazy robot.
Well, that's the craziest thing about the Alien universe in general, where they're just like, here's a movie about aliens and they're evil. Also, there's crazy robots. But that's not the point. There's these aliens, and it's like, wait, what? Well, I want to hear about these robots. Like, you have a whole movie just about robots.
You can see the through line there in those Prometheus and Alien Covenant, where it's about this robot character struggling with the idea of creation and his own identity, and then it turns into just like a mad scientist film.
It would have been a lot better.
It would have been a way better movie. It wouldn't have made any money.
No. I mean, but that's what it was a bad movie made by a really talented person who didn't want to make that movie.
I think he did, but it was like, you're not going to get this made unless it's in the Alien universe and you put an alien in it.
Oh, that's what I mean. He didn't want to make the alien part.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Because then he later said in an interview, he's just like, yeah, if you want more aliens, I can make like 10 more alien movies. And it was like such an... It was such like a nihilistic thing to say.
Yeah.
He had clearly like given up on the robot thing, and he was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to collect a paycheck or two here.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. Work on what did he like? Gladiator 2. Work on Gladiator 2.
Sure. Get an EP credit on Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, exactly. that's it for the trailers.
That's it for trailers. Yeah, that's got some good stuff in there. Some all right stuff in there.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the news stories.
News stories,
This first one, I'm not sure how true it is. I keep hearing it.
It seems to say within the text of the article that they're not sure how true it is.
Okay, yeah. There's a rumor that if Spider-Man doesn't make $1 billion, the rights go back to Sony.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
If it's true, then they made a mistake, like Marvel did.
Yeah.
That's hubris if that's true. I don't know about this
because
I don't think this is going to happen.
The rights never left Sony,
right? I think
so. There's no rights to revert.
I think it's something where someone found like a technicality or something in the contractor, but it's one of those where it's like, of course this isn't going to happen. Like, of course it's not. Nobody wants this to happen. Marvel doesn't want this to happen. Sony wouldn't want this to happen. Of course it's not going to happen. It would be so dumb of Sony to be like, all right, we're all set here, Marvel.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go off and do our own thing.
Yeah, it's apparently like it's like a leaked memo or like an excerpt from an email from not even concerning this specific film, from what I can tell from this article. So I think this rumor's probably bogus.
Yeah, I think so too. Again, I think it's bogus or... If it's technically true, then it's still not going to happen.
Right. It's some weird numbers technicality that somebody has definitely extrapolated incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
Like $1 billion?
Yeah. No.
And it's like that, first of all, that number's insane. And second of all, what I already mentioned is the rights have not left Sony.
Right.
So
I don't know what, I don't know what
This is only a mutually beneficial arrangement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one would want to. I don't know.
No. Why would you want to?
No, unless they're dumb.
You're splitting.
Sony so far seems to be the smartest studio out there because they made those amazing Spider-Mans that are like, all right, let's call Marvel up.
Well, fuck this, right, guys?
Yeah. We can't do this.
Yeah. It doesn't. You split profits, I assume, in some direction, but you're also splitting production and distribution costs, and these movies are not cheap.
No.
So
they're in fact very expensive.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think it's
bullshit.
Yeah, it's probably bogus. Or at least there's a truth in it that has not been interpreted correctly.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And anyway, the movie's already made over $500,000 in 1 week, so it's probably going to make a billion.
You mean half a billion?
Half a billion. I'm sorry, half a billion. It's probably going to make $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll do great.
Yeah, weirdos.
So Orion is apparently making a movie based on that Momo meme.
Of course.
Yeah.
They are.
Yep. I'm sure it'll do just great, just like the Slenderman
movie. Just like the Slenderman movie, exactly.
You know what's not a way to make a movie? Base it off a meme.
Yeah.
Base it off a single image. Not a good way to make a movie.
Definitely don't make a movie based off a single meme that wasn't even true.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Like,
That's a real dumb thing.
Because it's just Slenderman with a different picture. It's like the same story.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I guess it's creepy looking. I don't give a shit.
Kind of, but it's like, it's also like, I feel like, I don't know if it'll, this criticism doesn't necessarily apply to the Slenderman film, but like, because the Slenderman film didn't give like Slenderman legitimacy. It was just like, it got out of hand on creepypasta, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, the Momo thing became like, a cable news scare that they were warning parents about on some places.
Yeah.
And it just was never a thing.
Yeah.
It was never a thing.
Yeah. Slenderman is at least kind of like, I still haven't watched the Slenderman documentary, but that seems like a more substantial way to do it because there's actually been fucking murders or attempted murders because of Slenderman.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fucking scary. And then making a shitty movie of it was like, I mean, part of me is like, yeah, that's fucking wrong. But also, we do this all the goddamn time. We make movies based off real-life tragedies all the goddamn time, and we make them ridiculous.
We sure do.
So it's like, it's not abnormal. It's just a shitty film. But yeah, this is definitely like, when the trailer rolls out for Momo, it's going to be people being like, what? What is this? Is this a sequel to the Babadook?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this thing? They're going to have to, like, try to bring back the meme. Like, I guarantee they'll have, like, interns trying to put the meme back online or something like that.
You know what this, like, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the stupid Mazes and Monsters movie with Tom Hanks that was based off of that kid committed suicide and the private investigator who is a notorious fraud. He wrote a book about how he can prove OJ is innocent.
Nice.
He invented a connection to Dungeons and Dragons and pushed
it on that, and they made a fucking movie about it. Yeah. That was insane. Yeah. I remember the Dungeons and Dragons stuff because it was the people being like, these kids who are outcasts are playing this game. Like, that clearly is the reason they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why would that be the reason?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. This feels even less relevant than that. Like, I don't know. I know nothing has been connected to this stupid thing. I can imagine just a producer reading an article about Momo and then doing a meeting or two and being like, "Let's develop this," and that's probably what it came from. And like someone who's like not entirely in touch with the youth, and then I'm sure this will come out maybe in theaters in a year or two, and no one will give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll probably watch it.
I mean, yeah, why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to watch the shit out of Momo. Are you kidding?
Yeah, we're gonna Momo that shit up. Right up.
Oh, man. I can't wait to watch this piece of shit.
Yeah. Speaking of shit we're going to watch, new poster for Star Trek Picard came out.
He's still on his vineyard.
He better stay there. He better stay on his fucking vineyard.
My favorite one is the space variant, which shows planets in the distance. Isn't his vineyard on Earth?
It sure is.
What planets are those?
I think it's just the planets of his mind's eye. I'm thinking about other planets while
These
on his
are all
vineyard.
The worlds I've been to.
Yeah, I like that his dog, someone apparently zoomed in on the collar, and it says number one, the dog's name. Well, I need to confirm that, but that's pretty great. Like, I like it because it's it's kind of an insult to Riker.
Kinda.
Where it's just like, yeah, you're my number one. Yeah, it has a number one on the collar of the dog. I just like it because he's just like, you're like my dog, Riker. That's all you ever were.
Well, then you also get to say,
I replaced you with a dog.
Go outside and take a number two.
Yes, number one. Yeah, and also I'm sure it's just as horny as Riker as well. And
oh yeah, it just fucks everything. Picard wakes up in the morning, that thing is plowing a scarecrow.
Yeah, my favorite is still, there's an episode where they encounter a genderless species, and he immediately tries to fuck them. And like, to the point that when he meets them, he gives the like smile, the Riker smile, like, hey, like, he's just like a genderless, I like a challenge. And like, immediately tries to get in there. Good old Riker. But yeah, I just want Picard on a vineyard with a dog. That's all I want.
You make it so hard? Wish.
Yeah.
Occasionally driving a tractor. I don't know.
Yeah. That would be great.
Stomping some grapes in a big old wooden basket.
Yeah, I want it to be his vineyard, and there's a rival vineyard that's run by a Borg.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Borg are okay now.
Yeah, they run
vineyards. Sort of okay. Yeah, exactly. They assimilate them grapes. And like, he's all racist against the Borg. And like, I don't know, we go from there.
The Borg has just, they've turned their focus from like trying to form a society to just trying to form like conglomerates.
Yeah, exactly. They realize that's the easier way to take over.
Oh, this is way better.
Yeah.
It turns out the Borg hierarchy really lends itself to corporate structure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure this will disappoint me, this show,
in some way. It can only disappoint you.
Yeah. That's true. I just, so far, all the promotional stuff, I'm just like, yeah, vineyard. Like, it's just
they are leaning, it's just like, weirdly hard on the vineyard.
They really are. It's like, it's for me. It's like they're like, it's a, like the next poster will just be them writing like, yeah, Dave, it's a vineyard. Vineyard for you, Dave. You want that fucking vineyard? Maybe he'll wrestle with another old man like he did in the other episode. Have a cry in the mud.
Fucking
vineyard. so pumped. Based on just what they've shown me, I'm fucking pumped.
Oh, what's next?
So, Samuel Jackson joined Chris Rock's Saw film.
I am so interested to see what this movie is gonna be.
Yeah, I'm pretty fucking ready to watch this movie.
What will this film be?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Fascinating.
I guess Chris Rock just really likes Saw, and maybe he just called up Samuel Jackson and was like, be in my Saw movie, and he's like, yeah, fuck it.
I hope think that's how it went down, yeah.
Yeah.
Or opposite, Sam Jackson heard Chris Rock was making a Saw movie, and he's like, I gotta be in that.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck that is, yeah. I guess it's a sequel, right? It's not like a reboot.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Who can say? This is I don't know.
It doesn't say it. Let's see. It doesn't say in the article, does it?
No, I don't think so. I don't read the articles. That's the point. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit anyway. But yeah, I don't like the Saw films. But this is just the fucking casting alone is making me want. I have to see this.
Yeah. It's based on a story that Chris Rock wrote.
So fucking weird.
And both he and Sam Jackson are apparently in it.
Yeah, I know that Chris Rock's in it as well. Yeah, I mean, fucking, that sounds great. Has Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson worked together?
I think they're both in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka, but I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah, because it's an oversight if they haven't worked together. They need to do more. Fucking, I need to watch Bad Company. Chris Rock and Anthony Hopkins need to make 20 movies together.
That's a pairing that never should stop.
That's a match made in heaven right there.
Yeah, now I'm really sitting here trying to think, has Sam Jackson and Chris Rock ever been in a movie together? They must have.
I'm sure. I don't know. Is this fucking thing? That's like when the Departed came out.
In so many movies.
Right. That's like when the Departed came out and Jack Nicholson was in it, and it occurred to me, like, he's never been in a Scorsese film. That's weird. Yeah. Like, it was a weird thing to be like, this is happening way late in the game.
It was. It's sort of. It's sort of that, and that Sam Jackson is like, he's basically, he's more of a 6 degrees of separation than Kevin Bacon ever was, because like he's been in so many goddamn movies.
Yeah, I think he might still, he's like one of the highest grossing actors of all time, I believe.
Yeah,
I know he's, it depends on your definition of this, because I know if you count just actors who've appeared in the most highest grossing movies, it's actually Stan Lee for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, it kind of depends. But I know he's up there.
Cool.
Yeah, let's fucking watch Saw. Final piece of news, which is horror. This isn't anything set in stone, but Sam Raimi is saying that he's working on another Evil Dead film. He's not entirely sure what it's going to be. Might be Bruce Campbell back.
Right. Yeah, he said he'd like it to either be a sequel to the reboot or a new installment in the original series, and that's going to depend on whether the director of the reboot wants to come back and whether Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Narratively speaking, I think he should just sequel the reboot. In terms of what I want to see as a fan, obviously bring back Bruce Campbell, who is, I mean, I don't want to spoil Ash versus Evil Dead for anybody, but his story is, yeah, his they've kind of completed his story. But it could, all right. One of the craziest things that's in the Evil Dead series that I always, like, I forget, even though it's, like, it's not like they're hiding it, is that time travel is a thing. They could literally do a new group goes to the cabin, right? They could even make it a reboot. The same, like, the same that. They go to the cabin, they find the book, they accidentally read something from it, and a vortex opens and Bruce Campbell, Ash, just falls out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how it could be in, is they just open a portal, Ash falls out from the future, like, all like decked out in the apocalypse outfit,
mm-hmm.
and that they could go from there. Like, they don't really have to explain how to get him back to the cabin.
Oh, no.
But at the same time, this Evil Dead is a series that has spun very much out of control.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know what. Because you can't just bring Ash back to the cabin, too. Like, they did that in Ash vs. Evil Dead. Could they bring him back to medieval times?
I suppose they could. I mean, you could really do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, the possibilities are oddly endless. Probably post-apocalyptic, I think, would be the best place for it, though. Just Mad Max with, yeah, Ash.
Mad Max's ass.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this should probably happen, right?
Yeah. Either version of this I would be happy with.
Yeah, they can do both.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
There's nothing sacred about Evil Dead. I think the reboot was fine, but the only thing about the reboot was just that it's not, you know, I like, the original has so much heart and it's the original. So it's like, you can't really fucking ever live up to that. But they sure as hell tortured their actors and tried.
They went for it.
And they had a lot of, yeah, they went for it. It was a big swing and it wasn't the worst. It was quite fucking gory.
Yeah, I enjoy it, actually. It's pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah, I might watch it again soon.
Dave.
Yeah, yes, Tom.
Dave.
Yes, Tom.
Dave.
Yes, Tom.
Do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
I do.
Oh,
I do, Tom.
Man, what luck. What luck for you guys to be here too.
What are the goddamn odds?
I don't know,
of that?
Man. I don't know. Let's just praise be that this that we've been brought together for this moment.
Praise this moment, this miracle. Guys, I want to tell you about this movie called Extraordinary. It's coming out September this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently sitting at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it doesn't have that many reviews, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Let me click on it and find out. It's got 10 reviews. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's an indie film. It's from another country because they all speak funny. It's from like, I don't know what country, like one of them near British lands.
Mm-hmm. One of the British Isles.
Yeah. It's about a woman who is a driving instructor, but she was the daughter of a famous spiritualist, who was exploited her psychic gifts when she was a child. And then she gets thrown into a new, like, supernatural adventure, the villain of which is Will Forte. As a villain,
sure,
he plays a one-hit wonder musician who is trying to revive his career with demonic virgin sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, like, Exorcist-style, crazy, I don't know what. It's a comedy, if you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
Tom, did you watch the trailer?
I did.
The trailer's delightful. The trailer's like a Monty Python sketch.
Yeah, it looks like an old film from the 70s, too.
Yeah.
Like filmed on low stock film.
Yeah, and they're talking about like that supernatural things just aren't as amazing as you think.
Right.
And there's just like a picture of this road. And they're like, for example, this. And they do like circle on this little piece of like debris on the road. Like it's just like the idea that it's like it's a pen that slightly moves or stuff like that.
Like a pebble.
Yeah, a pebble. It's very much that tone, that Monty Python-esque tone.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, it's like, well, fuck, at least watch the trailer for this. It came out of nowhere for me. This trailer has been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't heard about it.
Yeah. I think it's been around since like March or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much... Like, I think it feels very like similar to like Ghostbusters, but not anything like Ghostbusters, only just that it's a comedic paranormal film.
Mm-hmm.
That's done in like a what seems like a fairly dry tone.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I'm pretty fucking excited for this one. And I feel like I don't need to oversell it beyond that, which is that just go watch the trailer. Mm-hmm. Fucking extraordinary.
Yeah,
two words. Yeah. Two words.
Yeah. Oh, man. It looks pretty great.
Yeah, this does. I should. What the fuck country is it from?
I don't know, man. You brought this.
I feel like a real racist. Irish. It's Ireland.
It is Ireland.
Yeah, I should know that. I should have known that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's it's only an hour and a half, too. That's good.
Mm.
It's not overstaying its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at some of the stats for it.
Big fan of those movies that are only 90 minutes long.
Yeah, a fucking comedy that's 90 minutes long. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, it's almost as if like if you write something, it turns out better.
Yep.
Anyway, this.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't look like it's heavily improvised. That is a good part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Fucking, yeah, check out the trailer. Like, there's nothing I feel like I can say right now.
Mm.
Because it's just more that the trailer has a certain vibe to it, a comedic vibe that you're either going to immediately glom onto, or you'll be like, not for me. But
yeah, you really kind of have to watch it.
Yeah.
It's a short trailer, too. It's only like a minute and change long.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this one.
Yeah, same.
I'm sure it'll be on streaming in September.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Well, that's a sode, everyone.
Yeah, that's definitely
a
sode.
We did it, you guys.
That's a fresh sode right in your face.
Big old steamy sode.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, what do we got going on?
Tom, we got a Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we got all sorts of shit in there. Mm-hmm. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Mm.
There's a tier you can do where we watch movies with you every Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tier where there's an exclusive role-playing game that you can watch us stream, that you can request your very own episodes of We Just Watched, which is another podcast we do. There's a lot going on. We got a lot going on, Tom.
We do, man. We do. It's really staggering when you list it all out like that.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's intense.
Yeah.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get shirts and posters and shit that has pictures on it that we either invented or paid somebody else to invent.
Yes.
So,
and we'll have more. We'll have more.
We're
and it's going to
have more, and it's going to be pretty awesome.
It's going to be fucking great.
Yeah. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, let's do that.
Mm.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at the Corlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.